It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us here. Windy day down at the Working Man's Beach. And I am merely the great P-Man, Patrick Johnson, here with you. Philip the Ref Pilkington is producing today's effort. He'll have a 94.3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report coming up in a little bit. We've got a victory to talk about. We got a frustrating defeat to talk about. We have many, many things to get into here. Plus, some Caitlin Clark news. Philip the Rep Pilkington in the Hizzle here today. Pilk, how's everything?
It's good, Patrick. Glad to be here. It's looking forward to an exciting day. It's going to be fun to talk to Shane Winkler. Pirates coming off a phenomenal victory. Addie Bullis, 7 shutout innings and a complete game shutout, and they're on to the second round of the conference tournament. So, hey, this American Athletic Conference tournament is wide open this year. Anything can happen.
Yep. 4-0, ECU won. They played the first game of the event today. Wichita State, since they're hosting, got to pick their time. So when it was originally said going to be played at 4 Sunday, they moved it later in the day, that day. And so moved the game times of the schedule around on Sunday. We were saying 4 on the telecast, but that's the information we had at the time. And East Carolina and UAB, who had just played a 3-game series, meeting at 11 this morning, East Coast time, 10 out there in Wichita, Kansas, home of the Wheat Shockers. And that's where we are. East Carolina with the win. They'll take on North Texas. Pilk, look really quick and see what they did against North Texas. Was that one of the teams?
They got swept. That was the first conference series of the season.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, thank you all for all the really nice birthday messages I got, calls I got, FaceTimes I got. A lot of ECU folks contacted me, which I thought was very nice and very good. Got a lot of texts this year. It's less of a social media birthday, Pilk. It was more of a text birthday. I think I've reached that point.
I feel like that's more intimate when they send it directly to you and don't just post it on your Facebook wall, though.
That's what I'm into now. I'll either direct message somebody if I'm compelled, or I'll text them if I have their number on their birthday. Otherwise, I will say happy birthday if I see them, but that's about it. But yeah, it was very nice, and looking forward to another year on this marble hurling through the solar system around the sun. Baseball. Watched that last night. Thanks to Mike Mullis for the birthday shout out there as well. I kept having to pause the game because people were calling, or I was calling people that had called while I was on another call. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. It's tough being very popular, Pilk. And so I eventually, you know, heard Mully say it when I was watching and you know, scrolling ahead to kind of catch up in between pitches and what have you. And Mully called me today to commiserate a little bit on the game, and I thanked him, and he said, why didn't you get it? I said, well, because by the time I watched it, the game may have been over. I don't know. Or it may have, you know, you might not have known what I was talking about. Anyway, boy, I tell you, Duke's pitching, you know, Duke to me is a little bit of an enigma. They're tough to figure out because they're good. It's a good team. And, you know, they've got, what, 10 losses in the ACC? ACC is obviously for real. Their pitching was fantastic. Their bullpen was steady. They looked the part physically. And it wouldn't surprise me. Duke is one of those teams that I think can make a run. They've got what you need. 5-2, this game wasn't even that close. They hit the ball a ton. What was it? At last check, I know it was like 6 2-out hits the damage that Duke did with two outs was pretty remarkable. I thought East Carolina was, a lot of that had to do with Duke's pitching, which was pretty darn good. But, it never seemed like there was the juice that was in the building, even though there was a big crowd. Cliff Godwin said his guys did not execute.
Yeah, we were bad offensively. If you told me we were going to give up five runs tonight with the guys we had available, I thought our pitching was outstanding, especially the way we played defense, too. I mean, make three errors and you only give up five runs. The pitchers did what they were supposed to do. And offensively, I think like 10 quality at-bats mean you're not going to win. So we had a bunch of guys come off the bench, so they did a really good job. Nowak had a walk. Walker Barron came off the bench, had a walk. Seawall lined out a ball with runners in scoring position. And Nate Chrisman came off the bench and made a heck of a play on a drag bunt on one of their fastest guys. So I was really proud of the bench.
Cut four, and Godwin talked about the lineup struggling.
You're going to have nights when neither one of those guys are going to get on, but we've had nights when they haven't been great and the bottom part of the lineup has been good. And tonight, nobody was great, except the guys that came off the bench. So we just got to be better.
Cliff was happy, though, with his pitching staff and those that that pitched last night said they were doing their job and kept the Pirates in the game.
You look at what Jaden Winter did on Sunday, bases loaded, no outs, and we probably extended him a little bit too long tonight, but we didn't have a lot of guys available. Danny was going to be an emergency if we had a lead. He got hot, but once we got down four runs, we weren't going to do anything, especially with, they got an All-American closer over there that they're bringing in the seventh inning that, I knew if he came in, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for us to score, and we were able to get one run off of him, but it's just hard to get multiple runs off that guy.
So, Pilk, you were there in person. What were your observations?
It was just kind of one of those games where when you get two top 10 teams playing each other and one has played four games in the last week and another's only played two, and both those games were seven-inning games in which they were able to use their top two starters, you're at a disadvantage. I'm not trying to sit here and make excuses, but, it's the nature of the game. However, that's a good situation to be put in. And it's, in a way, it's not that it's good to lose the game, but it teaches you, because what happens if you get in the loser's bracket in a regional? Well, you're going to be in the same situation in the loser's bracket in a regional that you were last night, where you've played three games and somebody else has only played two. So as long as they build from this and learn from this game we could look back on come first weekend of June and say, wow, we learned a lot right there, and this is the reason we won tonight.
Yeah, unquestionably Duke was set up from a pitching perspective. Duke can also just ton the ball. 80 some odd home runs. I think it was in the middle 80s coming in, and Riley Johnson even robbed one of the Duke hitters of one. So defense, again, wasn't great. I tend to think Duke had a lot to do with the offensive struggles, but there just didn't seem to be the oomph, maybe, that there normally was. I don't know. I don't think this is a loss that necessarily hurts the Pirates as far as, the committee, as far as the RPI, as far as KPI, all of that. But, it doesn't create a ton of margin for error, I would say, if you're trying to come down as a top eight seed and have the opportunity to be that national seed that hosts possibly, if you're able to get there, the super regional round. But I'm like you. You've got to you and I have talked about this off air, and I think a little on air. You've got to get through the regional first. And, the projections are the projections, but D1 Baseball has Texas in their projections today coming back here. They're not going to be intimidated. They're not worried about the crowd.
No.
They ain't scared. Virginia Tech, pretty good team. That's a third seed?
Yeah.
Whew. I mean, those are two. If you get anybody out of the Big 12, SEC, or ACC, and there are certain clubs that are flawed, but they aren't going to come in and be intimidated by the environment.
Well, they're used to playing these environments on the road every time they go on the road.
So well, that's and the talent.
Thing. Yeah.
They're used to – that's the thing. Duke, that was ACC pitching last night.
It was.
That was a team that's faced big boy lineups, that has hit against big boy lineups. I thought the Pirate pitching was tremendous, all things considered.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing I think you could take from this is guys do have the ability to do things. You just didn't have a lot of options to go to. If you're in a situation where you've been able to set things up a little bit in a regional and you have your full complement of arms, you're probably in a little better position, you know, as far as not leaving guys out there like Winter maybe a little too long.
Yeah. You know, I think kind of the junky thing about last night is it was, and I'm not bagging on the club, but it's more of a missed opportunity. You know, you mentioned that loss doesn't hurt. Quad one games cannot hurt you. But what they are is they're an opportunity to help you. And the unfortunate thing is this is, well, it is somebody's fault. It's not East Carolina's fault. You don't have any more of those opportunities down the stretch. And whereas every team you're bidding for, with the exception of Indiana State right now, for that national seed, they have other quad one opportunities. And that's the unfortunate thing. Like you said, 100%, it does not hurt you. You cannot be punished for losing a quad one game. The committee won't do it. Yeah, you lost RPI points, but RPI is flawed.
Yeah. Let's hear from Coach Godwin, Cut 3, where he talks about turning the page to Tulane.
You know, we're really good offensively, but we haven't been great the past two games, but we've been really good the past month. So we'll practice tomorrow and we'll get ready for Tulane. But, you know, we got a really good team. We just got to get a little bit better tomorrow, and then we'll hit on the road and go practice at Tulane and be ready for Tulane on Friday.
Yeah, I thought I'd be calling the game tonight, the makeup with VCU, but I guess it was not meant to be between Mother Nature and the fact that they decided to cancel the game. Probably the best thing if you're ECU is not having a game tonight. I know fans would have liked to have seen things or see this team play another home game. It would have been nice to have called a game here in May, but not to be. And chance to get your legs back from under you today with practice, and then you travel tomorrow and play on Friday. So it's just kind of that time of year at the stretch. It gets... you know, if the weather doesn't throw you off this weekend or you know, somebody eating a bad, you know, plate of chicken or steak or, you know, whatever that made a meal, if that doesn't happen, then you're in a pretty good position as far as, you know, moving forward into the weekend with no doubleheaders and that kind of thing. Pilk, what is the forecast for New Orleans? Can you look that up real quick?
Yeah, I can look it up.
Google that.
Yeah. Another thing, though, I'm sure this kind of benefited VCU not playing as well a little bit, because you know, they got to fly up to Manhattan tomorrow morning. They're playing Fordham this week. They're bidding for an A-10 conference title regular season. And, you know, they played Old Dominion last night, so I'm sure it's, you know, not the end of the world for them either. But looking at the forecast, 30% chance or 35% on Friday. Other than that, no chance of rain, some cloud cover, mid to upper 80s every day. Hot,
yeah.
Humid, hot and humid. Gross.
Kind of like today.
Yeah.
Kind of like today, hot and humid. So, all right. Our concert on the Common has been postponed. Not going to be taking place tomorrow. It was the group The Stranger, which is a Billy Joel cover band, and they were going to be coming to town, but the weather forecast for tomorrow was calling for a situation where the plug had to be pulled on that yesterday. So, that's unfortunate, but them's the breaks, as they say. We have archives of our interviews the last couple of days. Got a lot of feedback to that from John Gilbert yesterday and also from Mike Houston on Monday. So if you missed those interviews, you can go to the IBX Media app and either listen or watch those archival broadcasts of the Patrick Johnson Show, our one-on-ones with Coach Houston and John Gilbert. Brian Mull was going to be with us today. A couple of big golf events in the Carolinas, a couple opposite field events. Of course, what it was once known as the Wells Fargo. I guess it still is, but isn't it going to be the Truist now? Anyway, Quail Hollow going on this weekend in Charlotte, and then an event in Myrtle Beach at a pretty good course. But Mull, like a lot of people, is under the weather. I'm a little sick, Bill. Not just mentally, but just a little sick.
It's going around.
Stiffles. Anyway, we're going to get up with Shane Winkler when we come back and talk to him about softball's big victory today. And looking forward to having Coach Winkler on with us on the Patrick Johnson Show.
taking the rage out of your drive home.
You just cut me off, but it's no big deal.
Patrick Johnson on 94.3 The Game and the new IBX Media app.
All right, welcome back in. We've got Shane Winkler on the telephone from Wichita, Kansas, as he joins us here, Pirate softball coach. Shane, congratulations. ECU with the 4-0 win over UAB the game today. The game went scoreless through five innings, and then you guys got things cranked up in the sixth, but a shutout and all around a big victory. We'll get into some of the particulars in a second, but just your reaction to advancing on in the AAC softball tournament.
Patrick, I appreciate you having us. I mean, obviously, big day for us. But first off, I think I'm a day late, but happy birthday to you. So let's get the most important thing out of the way.
But thank you, my brother.
No,
I appreciate it.
Really proud of our group. I mean, obviously, we just played them a few days ago this past weekend, and we challenged our group because we don't feel like we had our best offensive showing. I mean, you saw games 2 and 3 that you did this past weekend. A lot of weak balls in play that we really didn't make many adjustments, but we've been full steam ahead since Sunday night preparing for their same pitchers that we knew we were going to see, and we really did a great job adjusting. We hit the ball extremely well, hit the ball hard all over the park. The wind probably kept about 3 or 4 home runs in the park. So we did a great job adjusting offensively, but Addie Bolus was the star of the show. I mean, she was awesome. 7 innings, 78 pitches in 7 innings. A lot of weak contact, weak fly balls. So she probably threw her best outing that she's had here at ECU. So really proud of her. But it's the time of year where it's let's go 1-0 today, and we took care of business in round one. So we're excited. We're proud of the group.
Yeah, her for Bullis, her 14th win and a complete game for her, and no runs allowed and just 3 hits. Had 300 career strikeouts notched in this game, and she had 3. And then I think the big thing today for her were 0 walks.
Exactly.
She really went at their hitters, and especially when you all, even when it was a tight game. I mean, she did not back down today. But Bullis is a neat story. She's student taught this year. She graduated last weekend with a degree in elementary education, and then goes out and gets a victory today. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, now we're beyond proud of her. Obviously, we brought her in because we knew she can throw in big games. Dating all the way back to her freshman year, we had the number one seed in the A-10 tournament when we were at GW, and she knocked us off round one. So we knew from then that she had the ability in a big game to shut a good offense down. And again, just proud of her. And being able to get by with 78 pitches, we've got her and Apple both available tomorrow. So we've got full complement of our staff ready, and excited to get back at North Texas again, because that's another one. It's first conference weekend that we've been saying all year long. We would love to have another crack at a North Texas and a Wichita, because we didn't play very well at all. We weren't ready for as an entire group ready for conference action when that came. And we're a lot better team than we were to start off early March.
In the softball tournament, it was ECU over UAB today in the 6-7 game. Pirates the 7th seed by virtue of dropping the series this past weekend to UAB. But 4-0, Pirates get the win today and get their 38th of the year. Shane Winkler's done an excellent job as the Pirate coach on the turnaround of that program, and he's with us from Wichita live on the phone here on the Patrick Johnson Show. You mentioned home runs. Kenesha Anderson, not only did she get things going for you in the 6th, but then got an inside the park home run in the 7th inning for some exciting insurance in the top of the 7th.
Yeah, she did a great job in the 6th to get things going for us, smoking a line drive up the middle. Didn't do as great of a job in the 7th with the pop-up, but the wind, like I said, was wreaking havoc. So you had two outfielders having to dive for a ball that usually would have been routine. And when a ball lands for her with her speed, she had an opportunity to turn things on and got racing. She was coming around second, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I've got Emma Jackson on deck. Do I send her? Do I send her? When we sent her, so paid off. So it's a fun way to get her first career home run. But I've always got it. Usually with the runner on base, I've got to do my math about how aggressive I'm going to be with my on deck. I've got the hottest hitter in the league on deck, and I had to do it quick. So it all happened pretty fast. But you don't have a lot of opportunities to send a slapper around for an inside the park home run. So we took it, and she beat it by a decent amount. But definitely some big insurance there. But excited for her because, again, she had a great at-bat the time before then to set the table for us, which we've said all along, if we can get runners on base at the bottom of the lineup, Emma Jackson swinging it extremely well. Morgan Johnson had a big hit today, and she's due for a long ball here soon, even though with the wind blowing in, she can hit it through the teeth of any wind. So if we can set the table at the bottom of our lineup, we know the top can do some damage. So we swung it pretty well throughout the lineup today. Again, just proud of the adjustments that we made because facing the same pitchers that we did over the weekend where we didn't hit a lot of balls hard, we squared up a lot of balls. So the adjustments that the girls had and really sticking with our game plan was really, really good.
Kanisha Anderson, by the way, is a freshman, so potentially more time in Greenville. And by all indications, a lot of these players are planning on returning just because they are excited about the future of the program, but also the culture that Shane Winkler's built in 3 years. He joins us on the phone. Annie-Kate Dalton had the hit that kind of pushed you ahead, but then some really good insurance from Anna Sawyer, the D.H. Conley grad, and that was great to see from her. She seemed, at least from my highly untrained eye, to put together a really competitive at-bat that yielded her getting her second hit of the day and driving in your second and third runs in that big three-run sixth inning. So, Shane, when you look at Sawyer, hometown product, if you will, is she starting to kind of snap out of the funk she was in?
Yeah, I mean, again, her battling and having the at-bat she did was big. That gave us a little bit of a cushion. But going back to, and I'll get back to Sawyer, but going back to A.K. Dalton, we've talked about early on that with her, she might not have the overall stats that she would have wanted, but she's one that I don't care what you hit, I care when you hit it. And we want her up in a big moment. And same thing with Sawyer. She struggled the past few weeks and has been down on herself. But in a big moment, that's two kids that we wanted to play because I don't care what your numbers are. I care when you hit it. And in the sixth, seventh inning of a big game, those are two kids that are going to make an adjustment and put the ball in play hard. And they got the job done there. And we've talked all year long with the team, and we talked about before game and in the fourth inning that, listen, some of you guys are 0 for 2. I need you mentally ready for that third at-bat to get the job done for us. And those are two kids that came up in big moments. Morgan Johnson was 0 for 2, came up with a big hit to get the inning really, really going in the sixth. So it's just kids that stuck with it no matter what their previous at-bat was. They learned, they adjusted, and they came up when the time mattered, and that's what tournament ball is all about.
Yep, and the Pirates get a win over UAB today, 4-0. They'll advance to play tomorrow at 1 p.m. Greenville time against North Texas. You can watch it on ESPN+. Shane, you mentioned the Mean Green and that first conference weekend swept you guys. How is this? Ended up finishing third, did North Texas. A little primer on them heading into the game tomorrow.
You know, they pitch it really well. They've got kind of a three-headed monster in the circle that we can see any of the three. They all with good velocity, and they keep the ball down in the zone a little bit. But the good thing is we hit the ball down in the zone pretty well. So we're looking forward to that matchup. And they do a lot of things well defensively and offensively. We're able to put the ball in play, put pressure on us. But, again, it's us taking care of the ball in the infield. And really, again, it's managing the wind for both teams. And it's that's something that you deal with a lot throughout the year. They do in North Texas and deal with the heavy wind. But it's gonna wreak havoc at some point in the game. We almost had a ball that we – really the wind picked up and almost meant a run to put UAB up 1-0. It may change the entire game that Kenzie Mason makes a great play on to end an inning. So that's always going to be a factor. But the biggest thing is just us continuing to keep the momentum in our dugout. And North Texas has had a great year. But if we can jump up first inning, put pressure on them and keep the momentum in our dugout and pitch it well, we've got an opportunity and the ability to beat anybody. And we've shown that, and we've shown that we can beat the top of the conference. Didn't play well against North Texas, but we've got that potential as much as anybody. So we're excited about getting another crack at them.
Hey Shane, congratulations, and glad you guys got the victory today. and you're still alive. That's what you are wanting this time of year, is just to have the opportunity in the Pirates' world tomorrow at 1. So thank you for the time. Appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Pat. You have to go 1-0 every day. Thanks a lot. Go Pirates.
There you go. All right. Shane Winkler, one of the good guys. Pilk, that was cool to have him on, and it's really great that those young ladies came out and in a scoreless game busted it open in the sixth and advanced, and we'll have a chance to take on the number 3 seed tomorrow in North Texas, who handled Memphis today, kind of pulled away from Memphis late. They were up, but just extended it against the Tigers. So, but Addy Bullis, a complete game victory. Good stuff there. Pilk, you know who I ran into on Monday before heading over to the studios?
Where were you when you ran into said person? So I can give an educated
East Carolina
guess.
Weight Loss.
Oh, you were at East Carolina Weight Loss. Is it our new employee, can't even call him an intern anymore, Isaac Morales' dad? I know he's doing East Carolina.
It was.
Hey,
it was. It was intern Isaac's dad.
Hey, he's on payroll now. We can't even call him an intern anymore.
I like to call him intern Isaac. That's what I'm going to call him. He's not allowed to speak to me. The interns aren't allowed to talk to me. So that's one of the – them's the rules.
Fair enough.
And so Isaac's dad is a ROTC teacher out at, I believe, South Central. And I saw him. I didn't even recognize him. He had hit a little bit of a plateau when I saw him maybe a month ago, but he was down 60 pounds.
That's
60
awesome.
Pounds. It doesn't even look like the same guy. And he gained a lot of weight during COVID. Michael Buscemi's wife is also on this. She's lost 30 some odd pounds. I'm almost 50 pounds down since Christmas. It's taken me, you know, I go in stretches where I'll drop a lot, but it's pretty slow and steady with me. But that's kind of the plan with me too, because I've got a goal that was pretty ambitious, and have some more months to achieve it. So if you want to get involved in this, we had the great open house last week and a nice turnout, and there were people that signed up that night to kind of change their lives, lose a pound of fat daily. And there's no counting calories. There's no counting points. There's no surgeries, obviously. There's no pills. None of those shots, you know, which some insurance doesn't even cover now. And I know two or three people that have been on the shots and have had ill effects with it. They had to get off the shots because it was compromising their health. They were just sick all the time. Get a free consultation now from EastCarolinaWeightLoss.com. You could go there and scroll on the screen and mention me. I'm the one that sent you. You could also call 252-496-3610. That is 496-3610 in Greenville. And, again, just mention me. Tell them I sent you. And you can join me. You can join the others that are having great success with East Carolina Weight Loss. It works. And, you know, yesterday, as we've talked about, was my birthday, and, you know, I'd have buried my face in a cake, and I had nothing sweet yesterday. Mainly because all that stuff's kind of flushed out of my, you know, system now. All that stuff that you, and if you were to eat something like that, you don't feel real good. So you learn the good things you could eat. It's all good foods. Very easy to do this. And I would encourage you to do it if you, you know, whether you need to lose 20 pounds or you need to lose 200 pounds. I think this is a worthwhile endeavor for your health. I do. I feel bad. I walked on the beach again yesterday on my birthday, which, you know, if you're going to take a day off from exercising, it's your birthday you want to take off. But I couldn't wait to get out there after the show yesterday and did. And it was great. Or before the show, I should say, after the show today. All right, Pilk. He's standing by with the 94.3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report. He's got that for you right now. Philip?
Thanks, P-Man. It's been a busy 24 hours in Pirate Athletics as Mike Houston and his wife Amanda have donated $100,000 to the Pirates Unite campaign. This money will go towards the indoor practice facility that is much needed for not only football, but all of ECU's outdoor athletics. The Pirate baseball team fell 5-2 to ninth-ranked Duke last night. The offense never really got it going, but it was a great night for the pitching staff.
They were awesome. You know, I thought all those guys did what they were supposed to do. I mean, even Charlie Hodges, who had a lot of opportunities, had to come in there and get a strikeout there at the end, which was awesome.
The Pirates will be back in action this weekend when they travel down to hot, humid New Orleans to take on the Tulane Green Wave. It is a 7:30 both Friday night and Saturday night first pitch with a 2 o'clock first pitch on Sunday. All three of those games you can be heard right here on 94.3 The Game 15 minutes before the scheduled first pitch time with Scott Rogers. Softball opened up the conference tournament today with a 4-0 win, and big thanks to Addie Bullis, who threw 7 shutout innings as part of a complete game over the UAB Blazers. The Pirates will continue their quest for an American Athletic Conference championship tomorrow at 1 o'clock, which can be seen on ESPN Plus when they take on the Mean Green of North Texas. Last night, the Canes lost a tough one in double overtime to the New York Rangers. They are now down 2-0 in the series, and Jordan Stahl talked about how tough the loss was after the game.
A hard-fought game, obviously. It's going to sting, but we got to find a way to get it done at home, and then we'll move on from there.
The Canes will return home tomorrow night to take on those Rangers in Game 3. Face-off is scheduled for just after 7 o'clock. Greenville United is just days away from starting their second season, and tonight they will host a friendly at 5:30, so it's just now getting underway at JP2, as they will host FC Fusion. This is ahead of Sunday's season opener against Hickory FC. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this timeout, we'll be back with more of the Wednesday edition of the Patrick Johnson Show.
We have you covered with all the ECU news and beyond that you need for the drive home. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
All right, there is something. This is huge news. I mean, this could be. I think we're talking about perhaps a seminal moment in the history, in the 37-year history of the Patrick Johnson Show. This is a seminal moment, and it is breaking news.
News for you. Everyone, a little breaking news for you.
Philip Pilkington knows more about a pop culture reference than I know.
Yeah, that is surprising. I don't know. We're both old souls. We both don't know very much about pop culture references.
If
it's after the year like 1988.
I know a lot more modern stuff than you know. I sometimes play you don't.
I do not.
You have no patience for it.
No.
So I'm going to read the text Pilkington sent me in the break. The Pirates just called up Paul
Skeens. Skeens. He was the number one overall pick a couple years ago.
Right. Paul Skeens. We can talk about it if they will show Livy as much as they showed Taylor during Chiefs games. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what is a Livy?
He's dating the famous LSU gymnast Livy Dunn, who's in all the Fabletics commercials and all that.
Well, you should
have
put Livy Dunn.
Oh, people know her as Livy.
Livy is on a first name basis.
All right. Well, I was joking, and I was saying
LSU, didn't he?
Yeah, and so did she. That's where they started dating. And I'm saying, will they show her as much during games as we had to look at Taylor Swift? I vote no. But I would rather look at Livy than Taylor Swift.
Well, I agree with you there. But I don't think they will, because not as much as they showed Taylor Swift. But she's at a game. She will, because she has – look and see how many Instagram followers she has, Bill.
Who, Livy Dunn?
Yeah. And then look and see how many T-Swift has. I'm going to – before you tell me, get both numbers. You got to write them down. I'm going to guess that Livy Dunn has more – Instagram followers than Taylor Swift. I'm going out on that bold limb.
If I can find her, I typed in. No, there we go. All righty. So I know what Livy's is. Now let me look at. Yeah, now we look at Tay Tay.
All right.
Tay Tay is significantly more.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, too much more to do the math in my head. Like, Livy is at 5.1 million, which I thought would be way higher.
Oh,
Tay Tay is at 284 million.
All right, I was totally wrong on that.
Yeah.
I thought Livy Dunn would have more.
I thought so, too. I mean, she one time had more NIL money than Caitlin Clark going into this year.
Yeah. Is she bigger on, like, TikTok?
TikTok's her thing.
What is the other one? snap.com or whatever.
Snapchat, but no, Snapchat. You can't even check their followers on that. Let me look at her. This is great sports radio, isn't it? I'm sure everybody's
going. No, this
going,
is good. This
what
is
the
good
heck
stuff
are they talking about? Well, she only has 8
no,
million on
Libby
TikTok.
Dunn.
I thought it'd be more than that, too.
Seems
but
like a
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they
I
show
guess,
as much
I
as Taylor.
Guess I'm,
yeah.
I'm guess I'm, you know what I overestimated here? The horn dog old men are outnumbered by the chubby eighth graders named Fat Jenny that like Taylor Swift music.
I guess so. I was going to say the basic white girls, but I like your reference better.
Right, right, right.
Chubby white girls named Jenny.
Yeah. You mentioned Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. That was what this segment was supposed to be about. I apologize. If people did not like the segment,
no,
I will take
no,
the
no
blame.
No, no, no. I thought that was interesting. And, you know, the show is not this. We don't structure it out. We just have fun. We freewheel. Caitlin Clark will make her Fever debut at home tomorrow. They will host the Atlanta Dream. There are actually tickets still available. And the game can be watched for free on the WNBA app. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is a preseason game, right?
I know the day game she played the other day was preseason. I'm guessing it's still preseason.
Right. Yes. Caitlin Clark continues to move the needle. According to this is a an AP Wire story. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Disney Plus will debut in the live sports space by airing Clark's WNBA regular season debut. The Indiana Fever will open the season, rather, next Tuesday night when they visit the Connecticut Sun. The Fever selected Clark as the top pick in April's draft after a stellar career with the Iowa Hawkeyes. A second matchup between the Phoenix Mercury and defending WNBA champ Las Vegas Aces will also air on Disney+. Smart move. Smart move. So what do you think of that? You were saying she's not going to move the needle or make anything happen, and look what she's doing.
Hey, I didn't say she wouldn't move the needle. I said she would not save the WNBA from needing financial help from
otherwise.
Needing financial help from the NBA, which is what they will always need.
Maybe. Remember Greg Doyle, the Indy Star columnist who had this bizarre interaction with Caitlin Clark during her first press conference? Do you remember we played the audio from that?
Oh, yeah. It was the most awkward press conference question.
It was cringe
is
what it was.
I think it would have been less awkward to ask OJ at a press conference if he did it.
So he's faced a lot of criticism, rightfully so, Doyle did, and he's now off the WNBA beat. Gannett telling Fox News Digital that Doyle was off Fever games. He has received a 2-week suspension. So on OutKick, Dan Dockich had a couple of things to say about this. Let's play those for you now. The first one being Dockich on a male reporter and just overall male reporters. This is a long cut, so I don't know if we'll get to it. We'll maybe get to the meat of the matter on this. But OutKick's Dockich says the reporter being inappropriate to Caitlin Clark or commented on, you know, this male reporter Doyle being inappropriate to a female athlete, Caitlin Clark, and this stuff happens, unfortunately.
A male reporter, in his view, the most important reporter in the world, he's something, thought it's okay to bring that into a press conference. That's what I'm going to bring. My creepy voice, hi, I'm glad you're here. You know, he acts like this certain persona. When it's told, I'm glad you're here, I could see him doing it. And she's got to sit up there and be like, huh, yeah, you like that? Okay. Yeah, I do it to my family. Shows this thing. Why is it okay? Why is it okay? Sage Steele says, yes, and yes. You've said it for years, Dan. You've lived it, and it's gross. Maybe now he will be held accountable. Shame on the Indy Star for enabling his behavior. The issue, I wrote this morning, isn't Doyle's antics at a press conference. I've told you for years who Doyle is. I have. The issue is, why would a male reporter feel compelled to speak that way to a female athlete? Why is it okay for Caitlin Clark or any?
Back it up to that, Pilk. Where why is it okay? Because I want to. That's the real meat of the matter here.
Okay, I think I've got it exactly where it was at, but I wasn't totally up on it.
Start it there.
The issue, I wrote this morning, isn't Doyle's antics at a press conference. I've told you for years who Doyle is. I have. The issue is, why would a male reporter feel compelled to speak that way to a female athlete?
All right, play the rest of it from there. Pick it up from there, Pilk.
Why is it okay for Caitlin Clark or any female athlete to be spoken to like that? Creepy, condescending voice, putting some type of relationship into, we'll get along okay. The other reporters laughed along. What makes Doyle and the others bring that into the room? That is the bigger issue. And it ain't going away. The Indy Star, although Sage says it, everybody, it ain't going away.
All right. That is dockets there. So, you know, I grew up in an athletics family. My sister was a star athlete, star basketball player, played collegiately, coached collegiately and in high school, coached two different sports in college and had success and winning in both. My dad coached for years, I mean, 40-plus years. Coached a lot of women's sports, college women's basketball, AAU, boys basketball, girls basketball. So I've seen a lot. You know, I did the softball this year and quite enjoyed it. Worked and have worked with a lot of women analysts and announcers in these broadcasts. And I totally get what is being said there as far as condescending, and maybe some guys feel like it's cute to try to come on to female athletes or female reporters or female, but it's just so strange to me that that would be the case. We don't have time to play the other part of this, so save that, Pilk, because I think we're eventually going to have a bigger point that will be proven that Dockage goes into, because I wanted to get into this other story before we left here today. So a guy named Michael McKay, who is a UNC alum and, you know, a Tar Heel fan, as his bio says, and he's also an Arsenal supporter. he writes for SB Nation. So he has put out this huge article on SB Nation about House Bill 965. Entitled UNC Intrastate Athletic Competition, which would require North Carolina and NC State to play football, men's basketball, and women's basketball at least once per season against one of the three opponents, ECU, Appalachian State, or Charlotte. Every 6 years, they basically have to have a home and away series with those two. And you knew this was coming, and you also know that you've started to, I'm sure, see on television if you consume Triangle Media. If you listen to, I mean, I love Giglio, but I mean, on their podcast, they were eye-rolling about it. They don't want to play. And now they've got, they're ginning up their buddies in the media, an alum. I mean, UNC has all the journalism graduates. And they all get the writing jobs and podcasting jobs and that kind of thing. And for years, they've been favorable in their reporting to UNC. Let's just say that. And so this is talking about the possibility of the ACC imploding, which, again, seems to be a UNC talking point. It disparages NC State, saying they would have to seek refuge in Conference USA. You know, it's about tourism dollars. It's about sports tourism dollars staying in the state. What is the benefit of playing Utah? What is the benefit of playing Minnesota in a home and home, or Utah in a home and home, or what's the benefit of playing UConn in football? Right? There's not.
So I agree with it in basketball. And I think in football there should be something. Because at the end of the day, sports are entertainment. And at the end of the day, entertainment is about bringing in the dollar. And you're right, Patrick. These matchups bring in the dollar. However, saying they have to play at least one game every year when theoretically you only get three because of the FCS game, that is pushing
well, no,
it maybe
a little
bit.
It's saying you'd have to play one of those three over a six-year span.
Oh, over a six. Okay, I was about to say. I thought it was saying you had to play one of those teams each year.
No.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, that's totally fine. I was thinking, okay, that makes sense. Because I was thinking Carolina and State would have to each year play either App, Charlotte, or ECU. I'm like, okay, that's getting a little force in people's hands. But, no, that is understandable. Now, and then, you can play one of these teams one time in basketball. You get, like, 14 out-of-conference games or whatever the heck it is. There's no reason you don't play in basketball.
Mack Brown wants no part of playing East Carolina. Never has. And as far as he's concerned, never will. But this is more about basketball, men's basketball. Women's basketball I don't care about. But this is more about men's basketball. So this guy kind of is carrying the water on this. Does ECU get the nod versus a cupcake? I don't see how that's for the NC State General Assembly to decide. Mark Bastnight a few years ago, I mean, basically told UNC you got to play ECU in football, or it could affect your schedule, or it could affect your budgetary money. And look, I think in football it makes total sense. I think it's a tough putt to get basketball State and North Carolina to come to Greenville or go to Boone, maybe Charlotte. Hey, but, you know, here's what you do. Get creative. Play some kind of round-robin annual event in Charlotte at the NBA arena and have those five schools and maybe rotate another state school in every year. Greensboro, Wilmington, A&T, and create something that way. Western. Just do that to gin up some tourism money. I mean, this makes total sense. Thanks to Shane Winkler. Good luck to the Pirates tomorrow. Back in the morning on Talk of the Town, 7 a.m., and then back here at 5 o'clock tomorrow, the Patrick Johnson Show. We might have more on this bill tomorrow or Friday. Open tomorrow, and Mike Mullis will join us. Thanks to Philip. Have a great evening, everybody.
Texas Roadhouse has a Mother's Day special combo.